With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Very excited about our next guest joining us in studio, brought to you by Bob Gillingham Ford. It is none other than David Gilbert, who stops in from time to time. Sometimes we have him on the phone, but today we're fortunate enough to have him in, CEO and Prez of the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission, also Destination Cleveland. I know it's a mouthful, but you're a busy guy, especially around this time of year. How are you?
Well, good. Nice to see you guys. And early is always good.
All right. We first things first. This is my favorite time of the year because we get into – I'm a basketball junkie. I know Daryl reports on the Browns all the time in the NFL, but he also loves basketball. And any time that we get not only the MAC tournament, which is every year is one of the hallmark events that has become, to me – an institution in this town, but you also get the following week, the NCAA tournament, eight teams coming from who knows where all around the country. They bring their fans, they bring the band, the pep band, the cheerleaders. They come in, they stay at our hotels, they eat all our food, and they have a great time. To me, it's one of the most exciting times of the year.
Absolutely. It's, you know, to have Mac Madness followed by March Madness, first, second round taking place at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, March 20th and 22nd. We'll have eight teams, six games. It's a great, yeah. It's great if you're a basketball fan, which I am too. You just, you know, four games in one day. It just you totally immerse yourself. And you know, as you mentioned, $8 million is going to be dropped by the people who are here for that event in Cleveland. So not only is it really exciting, It really helps the economy.
You know, you've been doing this for a long time, David, and you know, almost 20 years that the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission has been around, and you're approaching a billion with a B in economic impact with all of these events. We just had the Major League Baseball All-Star Game last year, March Madness this year. The big one, the NFL Draft, is next year, and then we've got the NBA All-Star Game in 2022. I mean, but we all focus on those big jewel events, but you also, a big part of that almost $1 billion that you've generated, some of the smaller NCAA events too.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate you bringing that up because really the bread and butter of the organization is, you know, we're at the point where almost once a month, so this year we'll have 11 national events, and everyone knows about March Madness and the big ones you mentioned, which obviously we love. But we have in a few weeks NCAA Division II Swimming and Diving Championships taking place. We have the U.S. Jump Rope National Championships later this year, and that's going to bring...
Daryl's been practicing, by the way.
I have. I'm terrible. But
You know, we may be able to get you a free pass to the finals.
Hey, I still have college eligibility left.
Double Dutch.
I mean, it's really the U.S. Cornhole League, one of their national championships. Interestingly enough, that event will end up with over 1,000 participants from all over the country. You know, these aren't necessarily headline grabbing. You can sort of, you know, it's easy to, and we do, you know, you sort of make fun of what the, you know, that because they're not basketball, football, they're not professional sports, but people are passionate about them. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people travel from all over the country, all over the world. We had the Yo-Yo National Championships last year. We had four. And
were the Smothers Brothers here for that?
They should have been, still. But I'll tell you, it's amazing. You know, there were more Japanese here for that than anybody else. Like, it's fascinating watching these different sports, and people are crazy about their sport, no matter how niche it is. And it's interesting because every one of these, no matter how niche, it's really competitive. We have to beat out other cities from around the country, around the world, for the rights to host any of these things.
You know, I know that when we had the NBA Finals here four straight years, it was essentially an infomercial for the city For 4 years. And obviously, you know, when you're able to get some of the national media and some of the fans and celebrities, you know, coming on in like they did for the MLB All-Star Game too, these things really help organically grow. But also the events, you know, I was here in 2007 when the Women's Final Four was here, and it was sold out. It was packed, every suite. I mean, it was incredible. And now you're bringing that back in 2024.
Yeah.
Not to mention the other events like the NBA All-Star Game. We just saw the NBA All-Star Game in Chicago. I'm sure you were able to kind of take some of that in and see what they did, learn from what they were able to do. And then the biggie, the NFL Draft. And I know that I ripped our buddy over at Kevin Kleps over at
Cranes
Cleveland. I said, wow, tough trip. You're going to be going to Vegas, right? For this, it's a tough way to have to learn. But you're going out there to learn all the different things that they're putting together and see how it's going to translate here.
Yeah, we probably have a couple dozen people from the community going, because it's everything from certainly the police and the city services, everything that has to be done, and really importantly, how we best take advantage of it. You know, the interesting thing about the draft, and it's become so huge, it's a free event. And so people don't realize it's a pilgrimage for NFL fans. So our efforts can make the difference of whether 100,000 people come to town or 150,000. And that's a huge swing in what happens to Cleveland. You mentioned media, 5,000 credentialed media will be here for that event. Our job is to help make sure that they do everything possible to cover Cleveland and cover Cleveland in a great light.
Do we have any idea as of now? I know it's really early. Any idea as of now where the draft is going to take place downtown?
So it will definitely be focused on the lakefront. The NFL is loves that as a backdrop. And you think it's so so unique to Cleveland with the lake and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and First Energy Stadium right there. Beautiful view of the skyline. But in your talk, we spent a lot of time talking to the people in Nashville. And there was a lot of changes to the site even in the months going in. That event is growing so rapidly and changing so rapidly as a huge event for people to come to. My guess is the final site probably won't be known until, you know, it'll still be tweaked until months out.
How do we compete with the Bellagio fountain, though? Are we going to have like a floating stage or a barge on Lake Erie or something? Like what? I know you're still in the planning stages here, but just what can you share with fans about what to expect as far as how this thing's going to unfold?
You know, I think what's great is the NFL says to every city, and it's part of how they choose where they go, they want these to be very unique to each city. So we're not going to out Vegas. We have to be, you know, and if you look at how amazing it was in Nashville, you know, along Lower Broadway and the shots there, that's very different than what Vegas will be. And I mean, think, you know, what we will have in the visuals of Cleveland on the lakefront, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, imagine boats lit up on the lake, in the water, a lot of things that we're going to do. Our job is to make it so the millions, tens of millions of people viewing all around the world are going to look and say, that city looks pretty darn cool. And that's what our job is. So, you know, we're going to go to Vegas not to try to say, how can we do what they do? Because we're not going to be able to. It's very different. And they're not going to be able to do the things we would do. But it's really trying to gain ideas and make sure that when we plan it, we make it as convenient for people as possible. And we also know we want to make sure that if we're going to have these 100,000 plus people coming into town, let alone 100,000 plus people from Cleveland who will go, how do they have as great an experience as possible? And that's a big part of our job.
David Gilbert joining us in studio, brought to you by Bob Gillingham Ford, our in-studio guest, Greater Cleveland Sports Commission. What were you able to hear from in terms of feedback? I saw you were so busy at the MLB All-Star Game, and I thought it was a total hit. I mean, I think you couldn't have gone better from the weather, from the crowds that came in, the everything that was next to the ballpark, everything that was over there, the what was it called? The play
ballpark at the convention center.
Kids had a permanent smile etched on their faces all weekend. What was some of the feedback you received, and how will you use that feedback towards not only the draft coming up, but also the NBA All-Star Game?
So what you said was right on. It was a huge, huge hit. And the MLB told us it was one of the best they've had in a long, long time. And certainly things we couldn't control like weather, but amazing things we could. You know, it was the best attended play ball park in more than 10 years. The way, the way we included thousands of kids from the community who otherwise wouldn't have a chance to be there. And obviously wonderful things like Shane Beaver and Carlos Carrasco and these great storylines. But they love the convenience of downtown. But I'll tell you an interesting story. The NFL brought a whole huge crew in to be here to watch. It's a small community of these folks. And so it was cool as they were here looking at what happened with the MLB All-Star Game, getting ideas, and also walking away being even more excited about coming to Cleveland. Because we also want to make sure that these events, the draft, we want to make sure that when the NFL walks away, we position ourselves to make sure that sometime in the next 8 or 10 years, we hold it again. So how well we do with MLB All-Star Game leads into how well we do with the draft, NBA All-Star Game and others, and positions us to keep bringing these things back to Cleveland.
You really think we could get another draft 8 to 10 years down the line?
Our hope is that. You know, you think the All-Star Games are a little different, that they rotate roughly once every, let's say, 30 years because of they try to go to every city. And so we're getting 25 years in between for NBA, which is great. But with the NFL, I think what they are hoping to do, and we hope so too, is they're going to be looking a lot at cities who may not be able to host the Super Bowl. This is becoming as big as the Super Bowl in terms of its impact, the number of people, maybe not quite the television audience, but in terms of the impact on the city. And you know, they go there to warm weather cities or cities with dome stadiums. And so cities like Cleveland and Pittsburgh and you can go on and on, Cincinnati, all over Green Bay, on and on, that wouldn't host a Super Bowl will have the more of a chance to host the draft. And so but it's really going to depend on how well we do. And but I think it's certainly our intent would be to make sure it's back here within 10 years.
Now, Daryl and I have talked, and he hasn't unveiled this, I don't think, on the air yet, but he has an interesting proposal. They feel free to just
No. I'm not going to unveil the proposal, but
oh,
I do.
Come on.
You got to. No, because, this decade here, there's a couple stadium issues popping up. The Indians lease expires at the end of 2023. The Greater Cleveland Sports Commission was instrumental in assisting the Cavaliers with the renovations to Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. The Browns are going through their processes as far as evaluating their stadium situation. They're up at the end of the decade. They would like to stay downtown. They're not exactly thrilled being on the lakefront, isolated from downtown. They'd like more events around there. So, multi-part question here, but where are the Indians in their future planning? In your involvement there, and then also, the Browns, because they're the only team in the NFL that has nothing to do with the Super Bowl, have never been in one, have never hosted. The other 31 franchises have either hosted or played in one. So I'm just kind of curious as far as the stadium situations, we're kind of getting closer and closer to, resolution needs to, come forward.
So, Daryl, it's an enormous question. In our organization, we're not directly involved, but through the Sports Commission, Destination Cleveland, something we stay very close to. This is my feeling, and I am not speaking at all for the Indians, for the Browns.
Right, and I'm not asking you to.
But I would say if you look at there's been studies that show the amount of wealth it takes for a community to support an NFL franchise, NBA, and so on. And Cleveland is one of the two or three the cities that has the most lopsided, in a tough way, the most lopsided amount of wealth needed, because we're fortunate to have historically three teams in three of the the four biggest leagues if you include the NHL, but compared to market size, if the country were to start over today, we probably would have 1.5 or 2. But we're lucky enough as sports fans and what they bring to the community to have three. Obviously, not just in what I do, but I am passionately believe we are lucky, and we need to do the right planning as a community to ensure that for at least another generation, at least, we have all three teams. So Here's what I think needs to happen. And you mentioned the realities are the realities related to what it costs to support a professional sports team and what a community has to do. It's not up to the owners. It's still a business. And so if you have cities like Austin or Portland or other big cities that don't have any or have smaller number of look at what Vegas is doing. They are spending billions on new, gorgeous stadiums and giving the owners opportunities to make tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars more. And you can't, in many ways, you can't blame the owners for doing it. It's a business. So we need, I believe what we need to do is really be creative, not wait till 2 years before a lease is up and say, what are we going to do? Wait three, four, five, six more years for the Browns. I think we need to think big. What's a regional approach to try and keep these things?
A dome.
Absolutely, you could have a dome. You know, here's what I would say. Dome or not dome, it's also about how do you make a facility more usable than just 10 times a year? And you know, that may or may not have to be a dome. It very well might be. But I think all of those are big picture issues and not wait till a couple years out, try to scramble and find some kind of new tax. Because what happens, I believe it's like this. I believe if you do it right for a city like Cleveland, it's like saving for your kids' college. You can't wait until 2 years or 3 years before they go to college and say, uh-oh, I better start saving. It's going to be really tough. You got to be thinking long-term and a little bit at a time. And I think as our community, that's the approach we need to take with the Indians and the Browns. I have no insider information. I would certainly hope our owners aren't planning on leaving. But you also, you know, teams are bought and sold. And teams are bought and sold by, you know, by owners that may not be from this town and may have a loyalty to somewhere else, may look at it as a business. You know, St. Louis just lost their NFL team. They will never get one back ever. And we don't want us to be that next city.
All right, David Gilbert, appreciate your candor today. I know it's going to be a busy few weeks. Thank you for coming
Thanks,
in
Anthony.
Studio. All right, we got to go to the update. We'll chew on that. Daryl will share his proposal, I think, at some point. He didn't want to do it in front of Gilbert, but
I'll tell him off the air. Mike's off.
All right, we'll do that. We come back. Jeff Thomas with the update.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.